Welcome to Points on the Board, episode 120. We're diving into the chaos rocking the sports world this week, from the NBA's latest rigging scandal to cultural clashes shaking up athletics. That's right, the story that won't die, boys beating girls up in sports. But first up, the Dallas Mavericks' improbable 2025 draft lottery win, snagging the number one pick with just a 1.8% chance to win. If you thought Luka Doncic's trade to the Lakers had fans screaming fix this draft lottery nonsense, as in nonsense the Mavericks won the pick, has fans pointing to historical conspiracies like Patrick Ewing's frozen envelope in 1985. And that sent him to the Knicks. So is the NBA scripting drama for ratings, or is this just dumb luck? We'll break it down. Plus, we've got Kate Fagan's Let Men Keep Physically Assaulting Women Trans Advocacy at ESPN. Then we got USA Fencing's policy crisis. Why? Because they got caught demeaning women because they're okay with men dominating girls in sports. It's gone from fairness debates to physically assaulting women and destroying their sports careers. And you won't believe the story I have for you that validates that. In the NFL, rookie battles, veteran retirements, and AI misinformation. Please, George Pickens, take center stage. And in our final whistle lightning round, we'll cover MLB's big move, reinstating Pete Rose and my favorite, Shoeless Joe Jackson, for Hall of Fame eligibility. So put those basketballs down, stop the estrogen shots, and get ready for Points on the Board, where sports and politics collide. I still love this. That intro is still my favorite. I do four podcasts a week, and that one's my favorite podcast. Before I get into tonight's show, and as I laid it out, it's a heavy show. There's a lot of information. You know, I underestimate this podcast, so I've had to delay it the last couple of weeks because, look, it's sports, and there's so much out there that's not even directly related to on-the-field issues, and that's what this show is about. I talk about those issues. I want to bring you the stories that are shaping our culture. Because as Andrew Breitbart said, and I'm like a broken record, I always say that. As Andrew Breitbart once said, politics is downstream of culture. And sports is a big part of our culture. So before I get going, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Grumblingsmedia.com. There you will find every single one of our podcasts and written content, though we've been lacking a bit on that. We are getting ready to get back into that. But you can also follow us and subscribe to us for free at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. So let's get into it. Our first story is the NBA rigging scandal, allegedly. Oh man, this draft lottery, it's I have never seen more picks win out at less than 2% over anything else in my life. I mean, that's why all these conspiracy theories happen. So is the fix in? So what is rigging? So riggings are claims that the NBA is manipulating trades, draft lotteries, officiating, or game outcomes in favor of specific teams. I'm not going to lie, I am on board with some of this, you know, mostly the refereeing, you know, and those who claim, well, it can't be rigged. Ernst and Young are there supervising it. It's done in private. The fact it's done in private opens a door for any rigging conspiracy. There's no transparency. You want to make it transparent? Do it all in public. Set up the machine in public. Put in the ping pong balls in public. And I guarantee you, nobody can complain at that point, you know? And a lot of it's done for TV ratings. Let's be honest. Here, this is true. Any league wants certain teams to continually make it. Look, it got to the point in the NFL where even some of the most veteran players were like, damn, that's fixed, those rests for the Chiefs. Beyond the norm. You know, so yes, with Tim Donaghy, yes, it was fixed in the 2000s there. Two favored the Lakers over Portland. You know, so it, is this a fix? God, I want to say yes. But until we actually have proof, it's just conjecture. But so why the suspicion? Well, there's controversial trades, improbable lottery results, 1.8%. Obviously, bad no. It's mostly no call, referee calls, you know, in the NBA. Then there's a big market bias. That's why David Stern. I remember hearing Jim Rome decades ago, and he mentioned that pretty much it was an open secret that the Lakers, that Stern, Commissioner Stern at the time, let the Lakers tamper with Shaq because it was more important to get Shaq over there and to rebuild the dynasty. The Lakers have just, I mean, the NBA has just never overcome the big rivalry of the Lakers and Celtics for Magic and Bird, and then going to greater heights with Michael Jordan and the Bulls, and even a couple of games in the championship series of those were deemed as fixed. I'm going to talk about this. I'm not going to talk about the nonsense ones like the Pelicans. I'm talking about ones that you look at, you go, whoa, damn, did that happen? Did I just see that happen just now? Those are the ones I want to talk about. So most accusations do stem from circumstantial evidence. And that's the problem. But that circumstantial evidence is like the statistical improbability. It's not impossible that 1.8% can't get the top pick. But when it happens 5 or 6 times in a 20-year span, you're like, no, that's not statistically probable. You know, so there's so everything lacks definite proof. Human error, team decisions, or business realities can at times explain. But just like UFOs, there's that percentage that can't be explained, like this one. So why are we talking about this episode? Well, the event on May 12th, 2025, the Dallas Mavericks won the number one draft pick, 1.8% chance to likely select Cooper Flagg. Despite being the 11th seed in the lottery, what's the 11th seed in the lottery doing? It should be like the top 5 or 6 tops. Everybody else, nah, you stink. Get the bleep out of here. And see, and that helps with the fix conspiracies. It's like, why you got that many teams? You know, you don't need that many teams. So the claim is that the NBA rigged the lottery to compensate Dallas after trading Luka Doncic to the Lakers to boost ratings and appease fans. I can't argue that. I'm not saying it happened, but the logic is there. Why? Because the Mavericks got nothing for them. But that would mean they'd have to tank the season, and that's where the implausibility comes around. But I don't know. You get Brittle Man Jackson over there. Is that his name? I can't remember. Anthony Davis. I mean, Brittle Man Davis. I mean, the guy's ultimately, it's like, it was a nonsensical trade. Like, everybody went, what the hell? And then to not open it up to other teams, oh, we had to keep it on the down low. What the hell, are you a brother in the city? Come on, keep it on the down. The down low, that term came from the brothers who didn't want friends and family to know they were on the down low gay. And because at the time, it was like, well, no, we're not gay. You know? So, I mean, it's like, did you want to keep it on the down low? I mean, come on, man. Yeah. So the claim is that the NBA rigged the lottery to compensate Dallas. Oh, man, that's brutal. So the lottery is audited, they say, and there's no tampering evidence that exists. Again, as I said a minute or two earlier, it's done in private. So you can't sit there and claim there's no tampering evidence, there's nothing, because it's not transparent. You can say whatever the hell you want. Just like that accounting firm said for Enron, yeah, those books look pretty good to me. I think it was Anderson and something, and they went bankrupt afterwards. And Ernst & Young has been busted. They got busted cheating to pass exams, cost them $100 million. Because this is in private, you can't sit there and say there's no tampering, because we don't know. We're going by the word of somebody who's already, a company that's been convicted for corruption already. Now they're going to tell you, well, Dallas is mismanagement. Well, no, they just got rewarded. They just got rewarded. 70% of social media believes there was rigging. This is a problem, and it goes all the way back. Eventually, you're going to get government oversight, not in, maybe in a generation or two. The NBA is the most blatant. The NBA was the one that wanted to promote gambling the most. You know, the NBA is the one that's struggling with ratings. Struggling with a sport that is seen as more ghetto than sport at times. They look at Draymond Green. We're going to talk about that. This isn't what I'm saying. This is the perception that's been created. And they need to sit there and figure a way out. And I say that because despite the fact there are more and more whites entering the league every year from Europe, from the draft, the number one pick is going to be Cooper Flagg this year. So it's a perception that needs to change and can change, you know, because that's not what the league's about. But the league does need to clean itself up. And this conspiracy theories, Draymond Green, LeBron James politics, all of that is just killing this league, you know. And, you know, having Nosferatu as your commissioner doesn't help out. If you don't know what I mean by that, well, check this out. That is Adam Silver right there. Now, this is Nosferatu. The resemblance is uncanny. Oh, my goodness sakes. I mean, let's be honest. Woo! So, again, 70% of the league thinks there's rigging. Adam Silver can do all the denials he wants. So I gathered 10 examples of alleged NBA rigging, but I'm not going to go through them all. I'll go through some of the juicier ones. So obviously, to start it off, we've got Luka Doncic trade to the Lakers and the 2025 NBA draft lottery event. We're going to do Luka Doncic. So Dallas traded Luka to the Lakers for pretty much Anthony Davis. The Lakers kept their first round pick. I want you to think about that. I mean, there are a couple other no-name players involved. But that was the gist of what did not happen or happened. So, the teams involved in the Doncic trade, the Mavericks, Lakers, and Utah Jazz, was actually a three-team trade, as everybody knows. The Mavericks traded Luka, Maxi Kleber, and Markieff Morris. The Lakers got Doncic, Kleber, and Markieff. The Mavericks received Brittleman, Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 first-round pick way on down the road. And the Jazz got Haylen Hood, Schifino, and a 2025 Clippers second-round pick, and a 2025 Mavericks second-round pick. So the claim is that the NBA orchestrated the trade to boost Lakers ratings and rigged the lottery to appease the Dallas fans. All that actually is plausible. Did it happen statistically? Well, I'm not going to say because I have no clue. This may or may not have happened. Why the Lakers, they keep saying the Lakers and Knicks ever since I was a grown kid. But outside of a few moments, the Knicks have been perennial losers. They had a good few good years with Patrick Ewing there. But outside of that, the Knicks in my lifetime have sucked outside the early 70s. And they're having a resurgence. You know, they're likely to advance to the next round in this. But they haven't been the perennial powerhouse that the Lakers have. So to me, the Lakers are the team. Showtime, baby. Hollywood, all the magic, celebrities, et cetera, et cetera. You don't get that out of New York. And there's a greater love for L.A. and Hollywood than there is for New York. That does not have as good a reputation outside of New York as the media wants you to believe. So that said, they've always wanted the Lakers in the finals, as far back as I can go. It's about the Lakers, getting the Lakers from the Western Conference to the finals. You know, on the Eastern Conference, they got history of Boston. Obviously, New York's the biggest market, you know. But, you know, they have other Philadelphia, a lot of old school. So they got a lot to choose from there, you know. But on this West Coast, it's the Lakers, you know. So I can see that from that perspective, you know. And why? Well, they failed to shop Luka elsewhere. Why would you take so little from the Lakers and not shop him. That just opens the door up to conspiracy. The 1.8% lottery win. So here it is. 70% think there's conspiracy theories. The Lakers dynasty for ratings, 40% believe that's the case. Lottery compensation, over 30% believe that's the case. Vegas relocation, meaning there's some that believe the trade was made to get the team to crap out so they can sit there and say the fans aren't supporting us and move it over to Vegas. And that's where Miriam Adelson of Sheldon Adelson's other half, they are gambling magnates, and Vegas is their home. So, I mean, it's terrible. They even got something to the effect in percentage, 10%, that Dallas fabricated Luka's fitness issues to justify the trade. Now, here's what I do believe and don't believe the league. I believe Adam Silver knew about this. You do not trade the biggest player in sports with the commissioner in the dark about it. He will have a hand in that say, because it's going to affect league dynamics. Yeah. So there's no evidence in any of this. Boy, but the conspiracy theories are not only fun to talk about. With the NBA's history, they're legit discussion points. Whether true or not is another story. Again, Silver Center said, there's nothing to see here. There's nothing to see here. Hey, shut that door before we actually make this pick here. Where's the ping pong balls? I got him in my pocket, Adam Silver says. Oh, gosh. So that is one of the big issues. Then there's LeBron James moved to the Miami Heat in July 2010. He joined the Miami Heat via free agency with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And the claim here is that the NBA overlooked the salary cap issues and they wanted a super team for ratings. The NBA since Michael Jordan left has been a slow dying cause. I mean, it goes like this. And it'll bump up, bump up, bump up, but it keeps going down. It's like the stock market. Stock market's history is this. Ooh, like Man from Atlantis. But keeps going up. The NBA's ratings since Jordan retired has had the opposite effect. So, questions arose, obviously, over Miami's cap space for 3 max contracts. And David Stern, the commissioner at the time, he was very hands-off and fueling league approval. Then there's the Shaquille O'Neal's move to the Lakers. This was the beginning of the end for me watching the NBA and being a fan. Plus, it was Magic and Bird were gone, so it was just a boring league. And as working in the sports industry, I got a lot of inside info. And I was like, I'm seriously thinking the NBA is rigged. I really thought that. Watching the Portland Trailblazers multiple series with the Lakers. It was like, are you kidding me? But anyway, back to Shaquille O'Neal's move to the Lakers. So in July of 96, Shaquille O'Neal signed a 7-year, $120 million deal with the Lakers. The claim, the NBA allowed the Lakers to tamper with Shaq when they're not allowed to boost to get L.A. going again. And what do I mean by that? Well, L.A. is a front-runner, big market. Orlando, not so much. Simple math. So let's move over to some of the draft lotteries. 1985 draft lottery, probably one of the most famous. In 1985, the Knicks won the first NBA draft lottery. 14.3% chance to draft Patrick Ewing. The claim was the frozen envelope and suggests Stern rigged the lottery for the big market Knicks to boost ratings. And it panned out whether it was rigged or not. The Knicks were resurging. And the envelope was allegedly frozen or bent so Commissioner David Stern would know which one to select, ensuring Patrick Ewing went to the New York Knicks for marketability. That one's a yeah. I'm not saying I believe all this. I'm just telling you, this is why the NBA is always being accused of rigging. So, and obviously we have this year's 1.8%, the Mavericks rigging. There's other potential rigging scandals that people talk about. These are the ones that really stick out to me. Now, I don't know about the 85 Ewing, but this one here, this one here just reeks of manipulative rigging. You know, people like Colin Howard, the Herd, you know, don't pay him. Don't pay that fool any attention, because you never know, because the doors are shut. You don't know how it's going. You don't know. You don't actually see him picking. It can be, you know. So these morons, these are the same morons in politics, tell me there is no voter fraud, William. There is no voter fraud. I did a whole series of podcasts showing voter fraud from the moment our country was founded, along with actual voter fraud cases just the past 4 or 5 years where they've been prosecuted. You know, that's a completely different story. But the point is there's no voter fraud, no voter fraud. People are in denial. That's why I ignore fools like that when they tell you in absolute terms, oh, that ain't happening. Morons. Sorry, people. Colin Coward. I kept saying Colin. I think his show's called The Herd or something like that. Anyway, so let's keep moving on. Officiating controversies. The 1993 NBA Finals. Now, this is my area of watching all basketball, seeing the actual games. So I was there, not front court center, but front court in front of my TV. And I remember when Chicago won 4-2 with controversial officiating. Both games were close. You know, so don't let the 4-2, well, they dominated 4-2. The NBA manipulated calls and suspensions. And some say that was to ensure Jordan's three-peat for marketability. The Suns' Kevin Johnson was suspended. The Bulls faced lighter penalties, free throw disparities. It was all like, it's like they didn't get some of the calls. They got almost every call. Then there's the 2006 NBA Finals, the Miami Heat versus the Dallas Mavericks. Miami won 4 straight games as a trailing 2-0 with Dwayne Wade averaging over 20 free throws per game in games 3-6. The referees favored Wade, obviously, to crown what they were. And remember, Dwayne Wade, oh, he's the next superstar, the next face of the NBA, yada, yada, yada. So that kind of played into this talk. The free throw disparity was the Heat had 197 free throws to the Mavericks 135. And then there was a game 5 foul on Dirk Nowitzki. It was a mess. That's the NBA. That's why the accusations of being fixed always happened. Then the 2002 Western Conference Finals, the Sacramento Kings versus the Lakers. In game 6, the Lakers won 106-102 with a 27-9 fourth quarter free throw edge. And that forced a game 7. And obviously, referees accused of manipulated calls, which I would say they did. There was a controversial foul on Kings, Vlade Divac, and Mike Bibby. And everyone's favorite corrupt NBA ref, David Stern, said, come here, Tim, I got a job for you. He claims refs extended series. Then there's the 2000 Western Conference Finals, the Trailblazers versus the Lakers. Game 7, Portland led by 15, but lost 89-84. The officiating obviously favored the Lakers. They wanted a big market finals. They could not afford to have Portland and Indiana. That was a death knell. Free throw disparity, 37-21. And a lot of late calls. I just remember one time, Shaq was barreling down. It was clearly a charge. The ref is looking at it like this. And then everybody's like, and the ref. You know, like Laker ball. Yeah, or Kings ball after Shaq. I can't remember what it was. It was just terrible. That was when I stopped, said, enough of this garbage. Enough of this garbage. The 1993 NBA Finals. Okay, I already just talked about that one. It's like, come on, people. Come on. At what point do we go, enough is enough? So, I mean, that's all I have for that segment. That's just, I keep shaking my head at this nonsense because we shouldn't be talking about this. But the NBA, it's like, they're screaming, hey, yeah, accuse us of rigging the everything because we have. And that's all alleged. But looking at the games, you look at it, there's never been investigations. None of that stuff has ever happened, nor will it ever happen. So that's why it's funny because the naysayers, they throw that out. Well, if you don't have an investigation done from an outside third party that has complete access, if you do it like a crime, then yeah, I think we would probably find out some things we don't want to find out. But man, it's there's one thing from the Black Sox scandal, the White Sox when they lost to the Reds in the 1908 World Series versus today's world with the billions at stake, you know. So the Mavericks lottery win at 1.8% following the Luka trade. Obviously, that's reignited allegations, and deservedly so. And there's, I just went through other controversies across trades, lotteries, and officiating. So I made sure to cover the whole gamut, not just one. See, the fact it you can look at trades, you can look at lottery, draft lotteries, and you look at the actual officiating. It's a corrupt league in many ways in terms of how fans are now looking at it. And these are conspiracy theories, I admit. They're fun to talk about, but I wouldn't be talking about this if there weren't dozens of instances where you go, things that make you go, Everything from the Lakers ratings grab to big market teams getting the superstar. It's all outrage. No concrete evidence. But I will keep my eyes and ears peeled and continue to bring you these stories. Let's move on. Let us move on to Kate Fagan's trans push. Now, who is Kate Fagan? You're like, huh? Who? Huh? What? Say what? Say it again, will you? So Kate Fagan is a former ESPN reporter and athlete. And she was on Around the Horn. Around the Horn's being canceled. Cutbacks. I guess the ratings aren't all that. And I say that not in jest or trying to hammer a show, but if the show was a monster's ratings hit, it wouldn't have been put on the chopping block, regardless of what anybody says, considering ESPN is just losing ground. And we'll talk about that in the final whistle. So Kate Fagan's a former ESPN reporter and athlete, actually. She played college ball, if I remember correctly. She was invited back to Round the Horn last week. And she advocates for men beating up on girls, as in biological males being able to play in girl sports. Obviously, she's undermining her own feminism beliefs because she's okay with men beating women up. And it also exposes ESPN's continued progressive DEI policies that has tanked their ratings, has them bleed subscribers, and do not be shocked if Disney eventually spins them off on their own in 5-10 years. So, for you, those of you that don't know who she is, Fagan joined ESPN in 2012. She contributed to ESPNW, ESPN Women, I assume, First Take, Outside the Lines, and Around the Horn. She was just a contributor. She was a regular on Around the Horn, built a reputation as a knowledgeable commentator. Look, I was in the sports world. Once you're in there, Mina Kimes, Kay Faye, it's not hard to brush up on sports. The problem is it's a man's world. And by that, I mean, hey, I'm okay with all women covering WNBA. But these damn women are hypocrites. You know what they said about the NFL draft? A woman who covers the WNBA, I can't remember which one. Not one black woman, brown woman. It's all men. And then so somebody showed the WNBA all black women. You know, it's like, come on. This is the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy ESPN pushes out there. Anyway, she left ESPN in 2019 to pursue some independent projects. And her return marked her first ESPN appearance since leaving. You know, not that you care, just to give you a little bit about her. So it was the final Around the Horn. She won, I guess. I stopped watching Around the Horn, gosh, probably over a decade ago, if not longer. What happened? The winner gets like a minute to speak their piece on whatever. She advocated for trans kids. In essence, she advocated for boys in girls' sports, supporting biological males in girl sports. And she stated, this was the quote, here it is, hold on one second, let me put it on the screen here for you. She says, sports don't recognize gender and neither should we. Claiming sports are gender neutral. That is the biggest damn lie on the history of that show. That is a bigot, is what Kate Fagan is, to make a statement like that. When women have been physically harmed, brain concussions, possibly and Peyton McNabb never played again. Brain concussion, she still has issues. Vertigo, it's really messed her up. Then I'm going to talk about this young woman in soccer. Broken leg, multiple spots, torn ACL, MCL in rugby because of a guy. This is a piece of a POS is what Kate Fagan is. A disgusting excuse for a human being to make a statement like that. That's one of the biggest lies ever heard in sports. So, why did ESPN platform Fagan? Well, she won, I guess, technically. But at the end of the day, this is opinion. The host decides who wins. Mike Real, or I think is his name. So maybe it was planned. But ESPN has embraced DEI. They have fired conservatives who have spoken politically after saying, well, we're firing you because it's not our rules. You cannot be talking politics while letting every minority spew white racist bigotry, DEI initiatives, all that nonsense. I'm not saying it to create a racial issue. That's just fact. And there's pushback, not just by me. Jason Whitlock, who had a big hand at ESPN in moving black topics to the forefront, who's a conservative now, and Bobby Burak, he's a writer on Outkick. God bless that little guy's soul, because he takes a beating because he's Anglo, you know. But her return, they believe, was a calculated move to push a progressive ideology. I can't argue that. You know, ESPN's focused on DEI, transgender participation. It's alienating the core audience, and it's driving declining viewership. That's not up for debate. ESPN Plus lost 3% of its subscriber base, 800,000 users in quarter one, 2025. That's a total of 24.1 million viewers leaving it since mid-2022, if I'm correct. The year it started, man. You know, I need to double check that. Let me double check that for you here, please. That's on me. I read it wrong. They have a total of 1 million subscribers with a loss of roughly 800,000. It also notes that subscriber numbers have been essentially flat since mid-22. That's a stagnant growth. Going from around 24.1 to 24.9 million only, with a peak of 26 million in November 2023, followed by a decline. So Fagan's advocacy is epitomized by her gender-neutral sports claim. In other words, she looks at it from a biased lens. Her push to have men continually beat up on girls in sports, that actually is a threat against fairness. These women train their whole lives to get to that top podium spot in the top three. And yeah, boys, I mean, Will Thomas, what is it, ranked 405, 425 against the men, ranked number one in women. It plays. Kate Fagan's a fool, a buffoon, and a bigot. Okay, let us move on to USA Fencing's transgender policy crisis, betrayal, bias, and a fight for fairness. So, USA Fencing has a policy implemented in 2023 that allows biological males to compete against women. Now, in March 30th, Stephanie Turner protested, took a knee, said, "I'm not fighting this guy," and it blew up. It went viral. But what made it worse was Chairman Damian Liufeld's controversial actions. And that included inflammatory social media posts and a symbolic photo. I'm not going to get into a symbolic photo. It turned out to be not be true. But the inflammatory social media posts. And that has obviously put the organization in the target mode for Republicans and those who believe women should not be, or men should not be competing against women. Crosshairs. Let's put them in the crosshairs. So there was a congressional hearing, and Liufeld was subpoenaed. You know, and they're not doing the sport again. A fencing coach just got convicted for sex crimes. They're a mess over there. systemic failures across the board. So, let me show you first what this moron said. Oh! I'll show you guys that later. This is from the chairman. He calls himself the fencing coach. He says it's private. It's not private. He's not private. This is all public. So in essence, this woman here, Dorothy, was saying, hey, I'm not going to have my kid play. This is bad juju, yada, yada, yada. You can see it there. And he replies, we got another live one from Dorothy, her email and my response. And he responds, dear Dorothy, the year is 2023. And as it turns out, you're not in Kansas anymore. My daughter will compete against women, period. If she loses to a woman of any variety, I'm not going to pull her from the sport and write a whiny email announcing my departure. That's a great lesson to teach your kids. At this rate, they'll overcome adversity with the same zeal as a livid Karen in a department store. You don't deserve the name Dorothy. You're a cowardly lion and the only wizard that's going to dig you out of the myopic hole you put yourself and your family in is one of the grand wizard variety. You bore me with these emails. Be on your merry way down the yellow brick road. So she's calling her a KKK member, a racist. This is the CEO of a national sports group. This guy's a pig. A pig. I bet you right now he's somewhere and his wife's being taken care of by a real man. This man is a duck with a C word. This man is somebody who is not a man. And luckily, he was taken to the woodshed. I want to say it was branded by a congressman. Let me remove this here. But let's add one more. Send me anonymous messages. Are you okay with cis females being at a disadvantage? And he said, yeah. So he knows men are better, stronger, faster than women, generally speaking. And he's okay with that. He is okay with that. So he was taken to the woodshed by a congressman. Who is that congressman? What's his name? I have it here. It is Congressman Brandon Gill. And I'm just going to show you the highlights. I may interrupt here or there, but I'll probably play most of it through.
I'm in locker rooms.
I don't have a personal opinion.
You don't have a personal opinion? You think that men should be allowed in women's locker rooms?
I don't have a personal opinion.
You don't have a personal... You have a personal opinion on a lot of things, but not on that. It's an astounding thing to not have an opinion on. I think most normal people have an opinion on that.
So earlier, somebody asked him, hey, what if it was your daughter, Sharon? We shouldn't be bringing my daughter into it. Why? Because it's the catch-22 for him. If he says, I'm okay with my daughter showering with a male, there's going to be hell to pay because a real man in the family that wears the pants is probably his wife. He's going to have a few words with him. And it condemns his daughter for who knows what else to happen. Great question. He refused to answer. This is how he answered later with Congressman Brandon Gill. Great question by Congressman Brandon Gill.
You think inclusivity presumably is a big part of the fencing community. Is that right?
I would say so, sir. We're a very welcoming community and a proud.
Are you welcoming to Trump supporters?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Then why did you, on your Facebook page, from the fencing coach, right, imagine being one of 71 million people dumb enough to vote re-election for a treasonous clown who's permanently banned from Twitter for inciting an insurrection, you mad MAGA bros.
I acknowledge that I stated that in my personal capacity, sir.
That wasn't your personal capacity. That was from your capacity as, quote, the fencing coach online.
Yes, like, that is my blog, sir. That's my publication.
Okay, so he's a bigot. This is the type of guy that wishes people like me dead, a Latino who voted for Trump. Why? Because I look at the data. I look at the damn data. And Trump did more his first term as United States president than any other president in history, economically speaking. He did more for black and Latino Americans than Barack Hussein Obama did. And this guy is just jumping on the bandwagon. Right now, we are on course to turn this economy around for the working class to do much better than they did even during Trump's first term, which saw, and I can't remember how many decades or generations back, for the first time that I can remember, the working class, people like me and you, to actually earn more wealth than the elites, than the white-collar worker. That had to happen in most people's lifetimes that are around today. But this guy thinks we're all dumb. He would wish us dead. That's who we're dealing with here, people.
The parents who don't want their daughters competing against men and women's sports are whiny?
No, sir.
You don't? Why did you write that on social media? Said, I'm not going to pull her from the sport and write a whiny email announcing my departure.
I regret it, sir. I deleted it shortly after posting, and I certainly don't feel that way anymore.
So that's what I just read you. But you see this guy? This guy's a duck with a C. This guy doesn't have any cojones. He's not a man. This is not a man. This is the epitome of the vajayjay, the pajama boy. A man who lacks estrogen. A man who was probably on his mama's teat until he was 16. A man who probably had no friends. The man whose first experience, he probably had to get dad to pay for it. That's who this guy is.
The parents who don't want their daughters competing against men in sports should be compared to the Ku Klux Klan?
No, absolutely not.
I'd like to read what you wrote and what you posted on social media. The only wizard that's going to dig you out of the myopic hole you put yourself and your family in is one of the, quote, grand wizard variety.
I acknowledge that I said it, and I will commit to never making a message like
that again. My time is...
So my point here is this guy should be fired. Any funding that's federal, I will pull it right away if I'm Trump. And I would make it a personal mission to get this hateful bigot fired. Now, y'all going to say, William, you're acting pretty hateful. I am pissed that humans like him are in leadership positions when your job, your responsibility is to treat everybody equal. You know, I just had a conversation with somebody here at Grumblings Media and said, hey, I could do this, do that, brand myself, try to become a star, but I don't, because my job is to help build up everybody else here. And I'm not a saint. It's about doing what's right when you're a leader. It's about treating everybody fairly. Now, the guy was talking to me wasn't, I'm not saying he wasn't doing that. I was just explaining to him, you know, this is the role of people who are leading companies. This is a leader. He's making it tough for women. Here's a reaction of a woman.
Thank you. I yield back.
Wow.
So what brought all this about, and I apologize, I should have probably said this earlier. So this is March 30th. I may have a chart. Yeah, I did state it. So where the girl took a knee. So it was at Cherry Blossom Open. This was in Maryland. Everything's happening in Maryland. You know, maybe they just had a Maryland man there officiating. This would have been better. Everybody would have been slaughtered. That's what MS-13 does. But maybe it just had a Maryland man. I'm being sarcastic to Democrats claiming an MS-13 gang member is just a Maryland man. Anyway. So it was a 31-year-old fencer, Stephanie Turner, and she took a knee rather than face Redmond Sullivan, a 20-year-old biological male who sucked against other men but is winning against women. And she's citing physical advantages. Yeah, he's stronger, faster than her. He does have an advantage. Y'all be believing this Hollywood stuff. Now, that said, there's a lot of technique involved, so a well-versed woman's going to beat the hell. If I picked up a sword, any woman beat up on me. But I'm talking about people who are training along the same lines. She took a knee, so she was disqualified, but then they suspended her, escorted her from the venue. They have help with the harassment. You saw what this guy says. All that does is encourage others to harass her, which she has been. And she's quit fencing because of the environment. This man, this duck with a C, has destroyed her career. How disgusting of a human being can you be? So who is that? Let me show a picture of Stephanie Turner. Here's a picture of her. That's her right there on the right. I don't know. That's the boy right there in the little box there. Her name is Stephanie Turner, 31. Beautiful girl. Or, I'm sorry, young woman. Woman. Got to correct yourself, William. You know, he's a 20-year-old kid. That's him. Now, when she took the knee, I gotta give some credit where it's due in manners, at least. He walked over to her. Is everything okay? Are you okay? You know, so he was probably flabbergasted when she said, yeah, I just don't want to compete against you. You're a man. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sorry. If you're still sporting a schlong, woo, 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 you're a man. You know, and the term transition, all you have to do is claim. And they say, oh, yeah, he's transitioned. Why? He said he's a woman. That's it. Now, there is some good news in all this for Miss Stephanie. The backlash is still growing. And Linda McMahon, don't mess with WWE, woman. She says that Department of Education, because of how funding works, will be doing an investigation into this incident, and the hammer will drop if there's any ties there, any money's being given. So that is hugely positive news. Let's move on to how USA Fencing is a disgrace. Just last week, former Olympian and coach Ivan Lee received 15 years in prison for sexually abusing underage female fencers, aged 13 to 16. Think about this. They've already opened the door for unsafe environments. All a pedo, like Ivan Lee has to do, is claim, hey, I'm a woman, and they can go shower. They can go shower. They can have locker room access with young girls. This was at USA Fencing's affiliated Peter Westbrook Foundation. He pled guilty to second-degree rape. That's all he got was 15 years. They need to castrate him. And you know how you castrate these guys? You hang them from the cojones upside down with a tightening noose on there like they do a sow. You know, they just tight and tight. Whoop, it falls off eventually. Second-degree rape, criminal sexual act, and endangering the welfare of a child. And the prosecutors noted profound victim harm. So USA Fencing is just screwed up across the board. Failure to detect Lee's abuse. And that raises questions about their overall safety protocols. Then when you have a CEO, a chair intimidating by proudly and loudly denigrating those who disagree with him. I mean, Stephanie. Turner, is that her name? Yeah, Stephanie Turner, she quit. Hopefully she'll come back. Her exit from fencing, it reflects the broader frustration in female athletes across the board. And the USA Fencing's policies are contradictions. They claim to ensure athletes safety, but do not. Their policies and their leadership have failed. They're sidelining female athletes like Stephanie Turner. They're punishing them because they're just standing up for fairness and what's right. And USA Fencing? And this chairman, this fool, he's okay. The proof? Look, they let this coach rape somebody for years now. In their defense, they're going to claim they did not know. Things that make you go, at this point, we don't know if they didn't know. We've seen this being hidden away before in the past. The girls' gymnastics. It's not above them. I'm not done. This is a story that won't die, my friends. Pennsylvania track outrage. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, maybe last week. The biological male, Luce Allen, steals girls' race. Last week, from my notes that I found, he just won the 200-meter race at the American Conference Championship. Now he qualifies to go to the state. The Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association adjusted its transgender policy this past March to partially align with federal mandates. And they did that by allowing schools to decide participation. It was a way around Trump's rules. Now I'm sure Trump's government's going to hammer them. This is your 80-20 rule. This is the type of campaign point that will switch Democrats to vote Republican. You go after and target the mothers with girls. state finals, this boy goes to compete against girls. Disgusting. Disgusting. And what this fool, what Sean said, it's not Lucy Allen, it's Sean Allen, you know, through his attorney said, you know, he argued that barring males from beating up on girls would, quote, strip them of their opportunity to develop as people, unquote. Yeah, as bullies, as future domestic abusers. Then there's the good news here. California track meet chaos. Aiden Gallagher's presence sparks righteous protests. So what happened? This boy, he's in the news. Mama San's in the news defending him. Y'all bigots, y'all this, y'all that, because you won't let my little girl compete. Your little girl's got a pair of cojones and a schlong swinging between its legs. I'm not going to apologize, but I got to backtrack. I assume he does, but I will find out here. There is no public evidence or report confirming that Ada Gallagher has undergone gender-affirming surgery. Usually when they undergo it, they let you know. They do. So I will presume he has not. So I will stand by my statement, but the caveat is I don't know because there's no reports. Odds are he hasn't, because if he had, again, it would have been there. So there was a track meet at Buchanan High School in Clovis, California, and it erupted when somebody recognized, that's a boy! Good for them. Parents and coaches wave banners proclaiming, quote, protect girls sports, unquote, and quote, fairness in competition, unquote. And they were chanting, save women's sports. While he was there, good for them. Good for them. Damn, about damn time you stand up for women. So this protest shows parents in schools, they're now coming out of the closet themselves and saying enough is enough. Because they were threatened, they were intimidated, everything was done to keep these mouths quiet. Now they can't. Now if they try, they will get sued and they will lose. But here's a real story, the real kicker. Dutch rugby tragedy. Esme Lindove. You know what? One second here. It's pronounced Esme Litvu. Her career was destroyed by a man playing as a woman. This happened in April, but it just crossed my desk here. And April 13th, a 25-year-old Dutch rugby player. Rugby is the most physically contacting sport because they don't wear gear outside of a mouthpiece, probably. They wear no gear. They're in like shorts and a shirt. And they're pounding, physically hitting each other. So Esme Litvu, she suffered a double fractured leg, torn ACL, and torn MCL after a vicious, brutal, purposely to meant to hurt tackle by a man on a woman's team in the Netherlands. Litvu had to be rushed to the Amsterdam hospital. Surgeons confirmed a compound tibia and fibula fracture, meaning that was sticking outside the skin, and complete ACL-MCL tear in her right knee, and it required immediate surgery. And the Dutch rugby union allows men to play as women. What is it, man? It's just, man, this is why Russia, China, and the Middle East are going to take over the world. They don't believe in this nonsense. You know? And their stupid rule is, well, if testosterone is suppressed for 12 months, they can play. Dude, the man is still, dude looks like a woman. No, it's woman looks like a dude, but he's still a dude. He still has the long arms, the stronger legs, the muscle mass. He has all that stuff. And he can sit there and take testosterone right before the match. The energy, it's nonsense. I don't know if he can take it right before. But I'm sure he's taking I don't know if he can take it right before and it does anything. But to juice him up. But those things are just, it's nonsense. They try to tell you, if they take the testosterone, you're still growing testosterone. And you're not suppressing it all. That level is still, it's like they're taking steroids and it's allowed. Litvu, post-surgery, asked, how was this allowed? She said the tackle's force was unlike anything from a female player. It's like the boxing match. Now, they say, teammates also say that transgender players' physicality was overwhelmingly dominant. In essence, they're saying he retained the male strength despite taking hormones, estrogen. Now, here's the kicker. A 2020 World Rugby study found transgender women retain 80 to 90% of male strength and performance advantages after 3 years of testosterone suppression, with bone density and muscle mass largely intact. Lichtvoet's medical team estimated an 18 to 24 month recovery time, and multiple surgeries will be needed, and the likelihood of her never coming back to play rugby is extremely high. And what does the Rugby Association say? What are they called again? Let's see. The Dutch Rugby Union. They're like, what's the problem? What's the problem? And then after more backlash, what's the problem? Okay, we'll look at it. Wink, wink. A Dutch commentator on television actually came out and said, look, this is dangerous and indefensible and demanding a ban. Good for him. It just needs to be vocal. We all need to be vocal about this. Lichtvoet's club raised 50,000 euros. Good for her in 3 days. It needs to be more. More. People need to go out there and donate. Help this woman out. Gosh. Again, let me repeat. Double fractured leg. Compound fracture. Torn ligaments. Out for a couple of years, multiple surgeries, will likely never play again. And you're telling me nothing to see here, William? And my final take on this comes from Chris Murphy, Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut. This guy here is another, he wants to run for president. He's been rallying and doing the tours. He's got a new PR person. We're going to talk about her in a second briefly. But he was questioned about the unfairness of biological males in women's sports. He was asked about that. He says he has no fear of transgender athletes participating in sports. That was a quote. He was pressed on his daughter competing against males. And he said Connecticut parents have no issues valuing the benefit biological males gain from team inclusion. You mean the benefit of beating on women? The benefit of becoming tomorrow's future domestic abuser? The benefit of stealing medals and championships and honors that women have worked their whole lives for. You know, this is the type of stuff you hope it happens to their kid and not somebody else's. And I wish this on no one. But it's like, if it happens on these people, I guarantee you this nonsense would go away. And for the record, Senator Chris Murphy dumped his wife to go with a much younger woman named Tara McGowan, CEO of Courier Newsroom. They were seen cuddling. Freaking old dirty guy. Dumped his wife, Kathy Holahan, with their two kids. Dumped them. Faster than a prostitute dumping a sailor after the deed is done on payday. Disgusting. This guy has no future. He's a boring, non-charismatic, old white guy who is passe and just doesn't realize it. So from Allen's stolen victory in Pennsylvania to Gallagher's podium grab in California to Esme Lichtvoet's ruined career in the Netherlands and Chris Murphy, Connecticut senator, being as clueless as can be, and allowing biological males in women's sports crushes fairness and risks lives. He voted no with a bill that could have codified, meaning put it into law, that men cannot play in women's sports. He voted no against that. Women deserve competitions free from male advantages and free of these nonsensical policies that are not grounded in science and going against public will. It's disgusting. All right, let's move on to the NFL segment here. So some of the NFL's latest developments reflect a landscape of individual merit, personal responsibility, and the integrity of some of the information we see. We're going to talk Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel's competition in Cleveland, Derek Carr's retirement from the Saints, and George Pickens' denial of AI-generated comments about the of what he says are AI-generated comments. So first up, Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. So part of the reason Shedeur Sanders dropped is because they don't think he's talented enough to be a stud starter, and he's merely backup material. But the reason he dropped was with Sanders comes nonsense. So what happened was there's a competition. Dylan Gabriel was drafted before him in the third round. Sanders came in the fifth, and they split practice reps on the first day of rookie minicamp. Gabriel was taking the first snaps. Why? The third round draft pick. And all of a sudden, there's a media. Why you sit there and let Gabriel take first round draft reps? I mean, take the first draft reps over Shedeur Sanders. I mean, it's third round, fifth round. Duh. But see how they make it an issue? They're trying to create controversy. Granted, they're clickbaiting for their papers, but this is the nonsense they didn't want to deal with. Look, Gabriel, compared to Sanders, is no slouch when you compare him. 63 starts, Oregon, Oklahoma, UCF, completed 66.3% of his passes, 16,000 yards, 125 touchdowns. So he's a seasoned young kid, meaning he spent a lot of time perfecting his skill. I think his height is an issue. I think Sanders can beat him. But that's a nonsensical question, and that's why I chose to display it. The Sanders-Gabriel duel, man, it's gonna exemplify and validate my belief as to why he dropped. Now, Sanders, keep his head on the swivel in a positive way, be polite, positive of his teammates, and he's doing this such now. It's the media creating this controversy right now. Moving on, Derek Carr's retirement due to shoulder injury. So Carr is 34. He's not a spring chicken, despite the fact quarterbacks play into their late 30s and at 40 now. He retired labral tear, degenerative rotator cuff injury, his right shoulder. He's had enough. He doesn't want to do with surgery. You know, he consulted with his family, forfeiting $30 million base salary, but he does retain the $10 million roster bonus. 11-year career, 169 starts, went 77-92, 41,000 yards, 257 touchdowns, and 112 interceptions. So he had a losing record, but he was on a losing team that was poorly run, poorly coached, one of the worst owners in the history of the game who inherited the team, and that is the Oakland Raiders, now the Las Vegas Raiders. Drafted in 2014, $150 million contract. He's earned his money. So the Saints now are going to go with rookie Tyler Shough, Spencer Rattler, and Jake Haener, all of whom somebody's got to step up. Maybe they look for a veteran. But at the end of the day, I can't blame him. And the tale you need to learn from here is, if Joe Montana had not been drafted by the San Francisco 49ers, we would have gone, Joe who? Because who drafts you means everything. He went to a losing franchise, poorly run, poorly coached, and he was never given a shot. He took the team to the playoffs, I think, once. Won a playoff. I don't know if he won. But the point is, just on a terrible team, kind of like Archie Manning with the Saints, just deemed Loserville. He's not Hall of Fame quality. Why? Because it was on a crappy team. George Pickens blames AI for viral comments about the Steelers. This one blew me. So, George Pickens was traded to the Cowboys last week for a 2026 third-round pick, 2027 fifth-round pick, and a 2027 sixth-round pick from Pittsburgh. 59 catches, 900 yards, and 3 touchdowns in 14 games last year. That's actually pretty much his average. Okay, so his average was for the 3 years was 58 receptions per year, 947 yards per year, about 4 touchdowns per year. That's tier 2. numbers. The problem with Pickens is he thinks he's a tier one. His supporters go, well, get him a quarterback. Well, all you're doing is proving that a receiver is nobody without a quarterback. Great quarterbacks make great receivers. Patrick Mahomes proves that every year. Well, he doesn't make great receivers, but it's a supporting position. There's a handful that deserve the big money. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. But what was, remember when Joe Burrow went down? Jamar Chase's numbers dropped. I don't want to say drastically, but a good chunk of it dropped. So quarterbacks make the receivers. There's a handful of receivers that deserve top money. George Pickens is not one of them. So they got rid of a malcontent. So comments were stated that he accused the Steelers. He said the Steelers were cheap and mismanaged wide receivers like him, Chase Claypool, and Deontay Johnson. And that went viral. So he denies that, claiming that he was on a plane, there's no service, just landed, and he's seen all these lies from Pitt fans. And he says, stop with AI trying to make a story. The problem is that he has been known for doing this and deleting tweets and things of that nature and then denying them. So who do we believe? He's been accused about lying about his intentions or actions and deleting evidence such as posting, quote, free me, unquote, on Instagram after a 2023 game against the Titans and deleting all Steelers posts, saying he never posted on that. He's not the smartest. He's not the brightest light in this, brightest bulb in the shed. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, these stories, they just illustrate a landscape where you have individual merit, personal responsibility, and the integrity of what and how you carry yourself on social media. All that is paramount. Especially with George. Shadur, that's not his fault. That's the media creating issues for him. I believe Shadur and Dion will be on the down low for the next few months in terms of not talking much. All right. Great show. We're going to close it out with a final whistle. That's my lightning round. I'll give a couple of points. I do want to spend a couple of minutes, though, on the big MLB announcement that happened as I was going to press here. So, the lawsuit, there's a lawsuit that alleges sexual assault by former NBA star Byron Scott. I think it was part of Showtime at the time. NBA player and coach Byron Scott, that's right, he was a former coach for the Lakers, if I'm correct, accuses him of sexually assaulting a teenager in 1987. And there's additional claims being made against the high school for not protecting the girl. So there was a Jane Doe filed a lawsuit in L.A. Superior Court alleging that Scott, then a Lakers player, assaulted her at age 17. Now, here's the issue. The lawyer came out and said, yeah, Scott and her hooked up, but he thought she was 18. 17, 18, he may have a case here. I don't know. But all this is blown up because Scott's current wife is CeCe Scott, and she's part of the Basketball Wives on VH1. Now, the VH1 show is going to eat this up. And it's about the lives of women connected to NBA players. So we're going to have to see and wait how that turns out. This was a tough one because she may have said I was 18, but the courts may not care about that, but we'll see. UNC denies ban on Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson. So a story came out that UNC has banned her. She's a nut job. She's a head case. And there's accusations of her being more involved in order to trying to take Bill's riches. And Bill's just an idiot. And Bill is an idiot. Bill, she doesn't love you. She may be giving up the coochie there for you, but it's not out of love. It's out of gain. Statistically speaking, that's where the odds are. So UNC issued a statement stating, no, that's not true. Now, Pablo Torre, former ESPN journalist who claimed Hudson was banned to her due to this involvement, tweeted that he stood by his sources and the story, despite UNC's denial. And both could be true. She may have access, but they've told the Belichick, hey, her access is limited to this, this, and this. That's just how it is, brah. We signed you, not her. She does not have the legal right to come in and do this and this and this. Only you do, or your designated people that we've approved of, as in you've hired them for this, for that. That's part of the contract. Now, she manages his personal brand And obviously, all this blew up because of a horrific CBS interview. And I'm sorry, Bill has worn suits at other events. Should have worn a suit to this. You look like a slob. Anyway, here's the big story of the day. Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson have been reinstated by MLB, as other now dead players have as well. But these are the two biggest names. So they lifted the ban, MLB did, on Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson. And that means they're both legends. And they're both now eligible for the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose just died at 83 in September. And he'd been there since 1989 for betting on games, betting on himself to win, or his team to win while with the Cincinnati Reds. He is MLB's all-time hits leader. He's a lock, unless these writers hold it against him. And some will. These are people, fat couch potatoes, who never play the game, can't play the game, have only watched the game, envy this guy, these people. That's the ultimate in penis envy, are these sports writers with this. So a lot of them are probably going to vote no, but he'll get in there eventually. Then there's Shoeless Joe Jackson, who will probably immediately get in there. He's been banned since 1920 for being part of the 1919 Black Sox scandal. And why was he reinstated? Well, simply put, he was not part of the scandal. When you look at all the numbers of the White Sox who lost to the Cincinnati Reds, they purposely lost. He played above all his averages. He wanted to win. The rest of these fools decided to lose and throw the game. But not his. His numbers defy that, and they still banned him. Disgusting. The epitome of good old boy country unfair justice. So, Jackson's reinstatement and other affected eight Black Sox players, and its renewed calls, obviously, for their Hall of Fame induction. There is no disputed issue of Shoeless Joe. Of the others, yes, not Shoeless Joe. For those who wonder, it was Ray Liotta played Shoeless Joe Jackson in Field of Dreams. Now, here's one that blows me. Red Sox ownership meets Rafael Devers after position change dispute. This guy's earning $30 million a year. So Red Sox ownership had to go talk to this guy because this guy was whining like a two-bit whore getting beat by her John to the public because they want him to play. They want him to change positions and play first base, I believe. So he opposes this, went whining and crying to the public. Why? Because Tristan Casas has a knee injury. They want him to move from third base to first base. Or his return from a knee injury. Let me double check this. I think my notes are wrong. All right, this is what happened. So Red Sox owners John Henry, the president and CEO Sam Kennedy, and the chief baseball officer Craig Breslow and Rafael Devers met. Devers publicly opposed the team's request. They wanted him to move from designated hitter. I knew it was designated hitter. I don't know why I put third base. From designated hitter to first base. He's whining. $30 million a year. This pajama hoe is whining. And they proposed to move to first base because Tristan Casas' season-ending knee injury. Ruptured patellar tendon. And that left the vacancy of the position. This guy's not a team player. He doesn't want to win. See, this is the problem with guaranteed contracts. You know, baseball's dying. And because of these foolish TV contracts, they're still living large. It's not that I begrudge them. They have to be paid on performance, but they're not. This eventually will bankrupt them. ESPN's dying, slow death. These contracts will eventually go away. So the media was supposed to be described as productive, but it's just terrible. Devers, again, $31.35 million, 10-year, $313.5 million contract. What a JJ. What a loser. What a disgusting excuse for an athlete. The Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders thanks Trump for support. A little bit of politics here, my friends, is what the show's all about. So the Cleveland Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders expressed gratitude for support from President Donald Trump. You know, Sanders during the draft, Donald Trump tweeted out, "Well, why isn't anybody drafting this guy? Y'all fools, I like the nice guy, nice kid, yada, yada, yada." So this is what I mean. Sanders, he's been humbled. He's probably going back to how his daddy raised him, be a good kid, be a nice kid. But his dad was just as bad in helping the kid's ego grow so big he couldn't, his head was so big he couldn't fit through a door. So he publicly thanked Trump for acknowledging his performance. Trump contacted him and his father, Deion. So good for Trump and good for Shadur to acknowledge that. Why? A young black man, he was probably told, don't say nothing. You don't want to go down that road. And he said, screw you, I'm going to thank him. So good for him. Good for Shadur. Let's stick with the NFL. Desmond Watson, the NFL's heaviest player, shines and practice debut. So this guy, Desmond Watson, weighs 440 pounds, defensive lineman from Florida. They're saying early on he's looking good, earning praise. He's an undrafted free agent. I just had to mention because he's 440 pounds, bigger than the fridge. Wrestling legend Sabu, honored after his death at 60. You know, these guys who die at 60, I'm sorry, I just can't help but think of the jab. I have no clue. But it's just everybody who dies young now, that's what I think of. So the wrestling community lost what they call a hardcore wrestling icon. He was after my time. My time with Wahoo McDaniel, Mr. Wrestling, Jimmy Snuka, Ricky Steamboat, Hulk Hogan, The Sheik. That was my era. His name was Terry Michael Brunk, died at 60, got tributes from WWE, AEW, Mick Foley. Now, I do remember Mick Foley. He was in the ECW from 93 to 2001, 2005, 2007. That's Mick Foley in TNA. So, you know, God bless him. God bless you, Terry, because you have now begun a new journey. He was known for using table chairs and barbed wire. 2005 to 2007 WWE run included notable Extreme Rules matches, cementing his legacy as a hardcore wrestling pioneer. Again, Terry, God bless. Godspeed on your new journey. We'll all be there. Here's an interesting one. Urban Meyer would quit coaching over prayer restrictions. So former Ohio State coach, and I'm not an Urban Meyer fan, but he emphasized during a talk that spirituality is essential. God is and the centrality of prayer is part of his coaching philosophy, stating that he would quit if restricted. And Meyer told a Columbus, Ohio church audience that he would have resigned from coaching if he'd been unable to incorporate prayer. And that credited his 83-9 Ohio State record to faith-based leadership. They came to a compromise. The university said, no, you can't. He said, then fire me. So then he led an optional non-mandatory prayer session. You know, he found middle ground. But this is the thing about society. They want to spit on Christianity, then they want to force Islam down our throats. And I'm not saying that as a knock against Islam. It's like Christianity is the religion that they want to pick on and they want to do away with. Why we're a Christian nation? I got an argument with somebody who said we're not a Christian nation. I'm like, you're an idiot. Yes, we are. The founding fathers had Christianity in their heart when they wrote down. What they sat there said, we cannot have the state dictating what forcing a specific religion or dictating anything about religion. But you, as a person, as an institution, can. Ohio State's not dictating Christianity. Their head coach believes in that philosophy. It's okay for him to have spirituality. So good for Urban Meyer. Now, here's a story I touched on earlier. ESPN faces subscriber decline amid rising cost. So ESPN is continuing to shed subscribers, yet they're increasing their spending. Again, MLB is an example. So there's a financial collision coming here. From 2011 to 25, ESPN subscriber base dropped from 92 million to 68 million, a 26% decline with 1.2 million subscribers lost in 12 months, ending in April of 2025. And what were those numbers I gave you? They've lost 800,000 ESPN Plus subscribers this quarter. So despite these losses, ESPN's high carriage fees and investments in digital platforms like ESPN One Plus includes $1.8 billion in 2024 content costs. It's driving this impending physical collision up, and it's creating tension. As Ricky Ricardo would say, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. You know, he never actually said that. Anyway, but the point is they are shedding. They lost 3% of its subscriber base, 800,000 users in quarter one, 2025. That's ESPN Plus, and that's their magic. That's what's going to bring life back to ESPN is ESPN Plus. They can't even keep viewership there. They're going to be spun off. ESPN will trailblaze the coming down of player contracts because they're no longer going to be afford to pay these fees. And that, in turn, will affect college, NIL, all that. It's like a ripple effect. Number 10, speaking of ESPN, Charles Barkley defiant on ESPN tenure and contract. So Charles Barkley insists he won't change his outspoken style, claiming ESPN can't afford to fire him, but he'd collect his contract if they did. So TNT is not going to be, their TNT show is going to be shown on ESPN. So Barkley on his podcast said he remained unfiltered on TNT's Inside the NBA. And I guess he has a $210 million 7-year deal, signed that in 2022. And even if fired, they still have to pay him. So he's extremely popular, him and Shaq. There would draw Kenny and Chuck, or Kenny and Ernie, the other two on there. They're nice supplemental add-ons, but Shaq and Charles carry the show. So that's going to be interesting to see how that works out, because he's not woke, and that's where the collision course will happen. All right, let's talk Verrett and Acho debate Draymond Green's angry black man claim. So ESPN's personality, Stan Vera and Emmanuel Acho, they addressed Draymond Green's claim that he's fairly labeled an angry black man. Verrett defended Green, that his intensity is racialized. Green said, quote, "They call me angry black man when I play with passion, but when others do, it's just competitive," unquote. Acho countered that Green's 16 technical fouls, 2 ejections just last year contribute. I have never heard him called an angry black man. Now, some may look at it that way, but I've never heard it called. No, I've heard him called an angry man, a thug, an idiot, a moron, because he's a bully. He wants a fight. He's clocked people without them looking. He's physically assaulted people on the court purposely. He's just a thug on the court. But I've never heard thug is related to the black man. No, it's not. Thug has been used on gangbangers, on brown, black. You know, there are white gangbangers too. And, you know, I've called white country dumb rednecks thugs. Thug, you know, that's a made up narrative by the mainstream media Democrats and minority race hustling leaders. But that term thug has been used across the board. And Green's just a bad dude. Not because he's black, because he's just a bad dude. Phil Mickelson mocks Newsom over Trump infrastructure tweet. So golfer Phil Mickelson, who's from San Diego originally, I don't know where he lives now, but he sarcastically criticized California Governor Gavin Newsom's response to President-elect Trump's infrastructure plan. He tweeted, quote, "Trump's infrastructure promises are just talk. California is already building the future." And Mickelson replied with, quote, "Show him California's great high-speed rail," unquote, mocking the project's delay. But now you can add on to that. 100 days, 12 permits issued. Karen Bass and Governor Newsom said they were going to pull out of red tape. We'd get these homes moving and building quick. It's a joke. It's a joke. Now we're finding out the $24 billion that Newsom gave out, he gave out to his friends and buds. Billions, don't know where they've been going. One big nonprofit was paying, gave the husband's business a 2.1 contract. She was fielding a 6-figure. Millions have come out being abused. This is going sideways. I knew this would happen. Newsom actually thought he had a political career, presidential ambitions that could be fulfilled. I knew from day one, no. No. And it's coming out how much. So great tweet, Phil. I actually worked with Phil's family many moons ago in a different lifespan. And there you have it, my friends. There you have it. That's all for episode 120 of Points on the Board. I, William Del Pilar, your conservative Latino, your fantasy sports pioneer, your former NFL analyst, thank you for joining me as we unpack the NBA's rigging controversies, culture shifts in sports, and obviously a lot more. So before we go, do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, grumblingsmedia.com. Follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. And with that, until next week, my friends, where I bring you the latest on and off the field, I am William Del Pilar. 4 points on the board, and I bid you adieu.